everyone, I'm Brian Conley of Hunters HD Gold, and you're listening to Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. This podcast takes a deep dive into what it takes to be a match director, manufacturer, sponsored shooter, or just an everyday shooter trying to win his or her first major. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Welcome back to another episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Today, I'm sitting down with the world pistol shooter. Where she finished, we'll find out in a second, but she just got back from Thailand. Megan Smiley, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Man, how are you?
Doing really good. Thank you. It's been so good to finally get to sit down with you. We've had small conversations here and there, but you know, you just got back from Thailand. You've been doing a lot and everything else. But when did you even start shooting? When did all this start for you?
Well, I started shooting just plinking around with my dad growing up. We shot a lot of rifles, shotguns, just plinking. Right. I've always loved shooting. My dad actually soon found out that whatever ammo he brought, I'd shoot all of it.
Right.
And so that kind of did that. We just plinked. We didn't really know anything about the competition world. We didn't know that there was things of people shooting besides like clay shoots out here.
Right.
I grew up playing softball. That was my main sport. I'm very competitive. We played from February to November. So that was really what took up my time through high school.
Right.
I graduated, started playing college, had a few offers, but decided to stay here. Just, I was kind of a homebody, wanted to stay in Texas. And, I just knew I was a smaller girl and I didn't want to go to a big school and sit the bench. I wanted to play.
Right.
So my goal was to stay here. Our coach here was really good about getting you out there, getting you out to a bigger school.
So when did you start playing softball?
I started, when I was itty bitty, that's really the only sport.
Okay.
And then, we started traveling competitively. As a seventh grader, I got to come out and practice with the high schoolers, JV varsity. As an eighth grader, I got to play on JV, in the high school.
The competition has always been there from a young age.
It's always been there.
Yeah.
And everything. My mom is actually very competitive.
Yeah.
Even like we sit there, we play cards and, there's no letting you win.
Did your mom play softball as well?
She did. She played slow pitch a lot before I kind of came along.
Right.
So, she really pushed the softball thing. I tried a few other things. I did a little bit of basketball, did a little bit of track, did a little bit of tennis, but softball is where I was confident.
Well, that's cool. So when you played softball, you said you played in high school pretty
very competitively.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all ever have championships and stuff?
We did. Yeah. We won state 3 out of 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I'd have to dig back through my memories. I think as a freshman, I was all state, all district, and offensive player of the year. We won my freshman year, sophomore year, and senior year.
Wow.
So we should have won our junior year, but there were some mistakes. I don't normally blame the coaches, but the coach should have pulled out one of our pitcher, but he didn't. So
there's so much going on with organized sports like that with a team.
There is.
And because I played some sports as well, you know, when I was in elementary school through high school. But I never, you know, depending on other people like that, when you see stuff, it becomes a thing differently for different people that are team sports. Because now you did shooting when you were younger as well, right? When did that start?
I did.
As well.
Pretty little. I don't really remember a specific age.
Because that was more an independent type thing.
Father-daughter time going in and plinking. I didn't start competing until I got out of softball. I injured my back playing college ball, like during the off-season games.
Right.
And decided it wasn't worth going back. The softball had been taken out of the Olympics, so just didn't really see a good future. My dad had met a guy who did pistol competitions. And so I started, that's how I started getting into that was when I was in college.
Wow. How'd you hurt your back in softball?
We were up there playing Tech and LCU, and they have like almost like baseball dugouts. And I went to dive for a ball, and it was either landing in the dugout or land like kind of offset. So I landed offset thinking that that would be safer and herniated a couple of discs and that, and then just continued to play through the weekend because I didn't want to sit the bench.
Now, so we're in Odessa, Texas right now.
We are.
Is this where you were born?
I was born in Midland, which is about 30 okay. minutes the east of right. here. Yeah. So I was born, raised, and stayed. A lot of people get out of here and they don't like it, but I right. love it. It's small, but not too small. Right. People here are nice, genuine.
I was really shocked how big Odessa is.
It's grown a lot.
There's traffic everywhere.
There is.
I was like, and it was on the streets and everything else, because this is kind of the mecca for any kind of, you know, fueling the United States, I guess, with oil.
Oil and gas. This is the oil and Permian Basin's oil and gas industry, and that's how I grew up. My mom was a landman. My dad worked in the pump business.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I grew up in the oil and gas industry. Actually, I didn't like it. I was always annoyed with it because that's all they talked about. My mom owned her own business, and my dad was a VP of a big pump company. And so it was like, I actually worked in the oil industry for a little bit, but then got out of it because it wasn't my jam.
No, I got it. So when you started shooting, you said with your dad, just blinking and stuff, and then you said he got interested in competition shooting. How old were you when that happened?
I was about 19 when he introduced me to a gentleman who shot USPSA. He didn't ever really get into competitions, but I met this gentleman and actually went to school kind of close near him. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of got introduced into USPSA and started traveling and doing competitions. And so I was about 19-ish, 20-ish.
Okay. Wow. What was that like? So USPSA was your first introduction into shooting.
It was.
So you're running and gunning. There was no standing still, like steel challenge.
No,
it
was
right into it.
I actually did IDPA. My first match ever was like a local IDPA match. Mm-hmm. And I got called behind that I wasn't far enough behind cover. And I was like, if I got farther behind, I'd shoot the cover. So I don't know how this works. But then went to USPSA and loved it. And I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed the competition aspect. I enjoyed the learning a new skill. And I just loved shooting. So it was just a cool, exciting new adventure.
With you doing softball for so long as a team sport, and kind of going back to my point earlier, and then all of a sudden doing shooting as an individual.
Yeah.
Did you appreciate that freedom that you had?
I'm not sure I appreciate it. I think I struggled more, to be honest. Because I've always, for softball, I was so confident. Like, I knew I was good from a young age. Like, I knew my skills. So I did well under pressure. I actually always did better hitting if I had two strikes. I just did better under pressure. Coming into an individual sport, never really playing an individual sport, I was super critical of myself, and I allowed a lot of that to get in my way. I also didn't know how to practice like by myself. I didn't know how to, how do you manage yourself on that? You know, I knew how to do that in the batting cage. I knew how to do that, but didn't really know that in the aspect of shooting.
How did you overcome that?
It's still overcoming. Still getting there, but I've grown a lot. I actually met my husband at a USPSA match.
Okay.
So it's very, shooting is very integrated into my family now.
Okay.
But I've worked on it a lot. My husband comes from an individual. He shot international trap.
Okay.
And so he comes from the individual sport. So he's really helped encourage and show me that. I've gone and reached out some different, also talked to some different like sports psych people and stuff like that, just to help like manage that mental thing.
So the sports psychology is, they don't specialize in just shooting sports, do they?
No, okay. not very many. I mean, so one of the things that also did help me when my husband stopped shooting, we used to travel together a lot. We used to shoot together a lot. And actually, most of the time when we practiced together, I hate to admit it, but it would cause fights because we come from two different schools of thought of being trained. And so it took us a while to learn how to practice together. It took us a little bit to learn how to communicate and work through those things. But then he quit shooting USPSA. And that was kind of another loss for me because all of a sudden now I'm having to go by myself to matches, drive 8-10 hours by myself. And So it's been a really cool journey. It's a journey that I've been proud of. Barely recently, I've really actually been proud of that journey, coming to appreciate it more, because I can see how much I've grown.
What was that like as a woman driving 8 hours? Were you by yourself?
I was by myself.
Okay. And then all of a sudden showing up to a match, like for the first time when you went and did that.
Right.
With a, for lack of better words, male dominated situation. How was that like for you the first time?
So it actually wasn't too bad because I ended up with shooting on the Max Michelle team at that year.
Oh, okay.
So the year that he quit or the year that he finished, like that next following year, I ended up traveling and meeting up with Max and shooting with him and the team. And that was really helpful because at that point I wasn't completely by myself. I had a group of guys and people that, you know, I knew would take care of me and knew were good. I've always traveled by myself. So, like I would fly places and stuff. So that's not a problem, but just knowing like, hey, I have these people behind my back, you know, Max also helped teach me how to practice on my own, how to evaluate yourself.
Well, I was getting ready to say, cause Max is one of the masters of the mental game that he does with all his setup and everything he does before a match and stuff. And during a match, I've watched him before. He's really got himself under control. Was he one of your first trainers to get through that?
Maybe not necessarily the mind side. I think at that point I wasn't really focused on the mind side. I was focused on, oh, I've got to push through. It was more of the physical. I don't think I realized that my mental game was causing such a defect in for a few more years. It took me a couple more years to like acknowledge my mental game was causing more harm.
Where was your mental game at to know that you were doing harm? What did you dislike? Did you have a bad stage and it was just hard to get through it? Or
That. And I'd come home from almost every match just upset.
Really?
And my husband would point out like, why are you even doing this? Like, if you're upset, why are you doing it? And that's that competitive nature in myself of being too hard on myself and expecting too much. And just not understanding also like, hey, I don't have like the team to rely on either. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have a team to help pull me up when I do in a slump. Like I have to pull myself up. I have to get myself out of the gutter. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was just a lot of different things, but it was just kind of his accountability. And he grew up having, knowing like the sports psych. And actually I used to make fun of him about it at the beginning. And it's funny cause I'm a counselor. A lot of people, I don't know if everybody knows I'm a counselor. So me kind of giving him a hard time about, oh, you don't, why would you do a sports psych? Like that's silly. And then as I recognized, oh, my big issues, that's why.
Were you a counselor for what?
I do children.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that what you went to college for?
I did.
Okay.
I did. So I have a master's, in counseling and religion. And I have a licensed professional counselor.
Wow.
In the state of Texas.
So, yeah, being a counselor and then being able to self-diagnose is not easy to do because you're usually diagnosing everybody else.
Right. Or I tend to be like my thing, I tend to be overly critical of myself and have way too high of expectations of myself.
Did you ever get to a point where being upset after matches and coming home, did you ever have a thought of like, I just can't do this anymore?
No.
Okay.
Because I have goals.
Okay.
Now, I do have a daughter, you know, now she'll be 2 in May. Mm-hmm. And so there are some balances of trying to figure out like, okay, is this worth my time or should I be spending time with her? Or just kind of finding that balance of, you know, taking care of myself, but also taking care of her. And she's still pretty little. So that's good and bad. You know, there's benefits, but there's some cons as well to her being that little.
When you say you had goals, you know, because we talked about at the very first of the podcast that you went, you know, just got back from the world shoot and everything else. What were your goals when you first got started? What were you wanting to accomplish?
When I first got started, I think I was kind of lost in that area. I'm not sure I really knew what I wanted to accomplish. I just knew I wanted to be good.
Okay.
I didn't just want to beat the women. I wanted to beat men, too. Like, I didn't want to just be, she's good for a girl. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a few people that when I was shooting a handful of years ago, that's what they'd say. Oh, she's just good for a girl. And my husband would laugh and be like, yeah, you go tell her that. I'm not going to tell her that. You go tell her that.
Right.
Because to me, that's a disservice. Although I know I'm not As a female, I'm not as strong as men. I'm not as quick, and those things, there are limitations, but I still want to be able to run up as high as I can get. My first goal, when I think when I was shooting, I thought, oh, it'd be cool to be a sponsored shooter.
Okay.
And then as I've kind of, I had some, Gabby Franco actually gave me some really wise advice.
Right.
Way back in the day, I was shooting limited at the time. And she's like, you know, hey, don't do these sponsorships that are 5% off of this or that, you know, make sure it's beneficial for you and the sponsor, make mm-hmm. sure it's a beneficial, relationship. And so that was kind of nice to have some of that feedback. And, Eddie Garcia, I switched to open a few years ago, and right. Eddie, I think it was about a year after I started shooting, he reached out to me, and at that point I was okay with not being sponsored. There were some mm-hmm. good benefits of like, hey, I can go do what I want. This there's not the added pressure of I'm having to perform for my sponsors. Mm-hmm. So that was, there's some pros and cons to both of it.
Oh, I see it 100%. That's the reason I don't have a team.
Right.
Because I don't want to put people under that pressure of you have to do this, you have to do that. I just want you to go have fun and
exactly.
do the sport. If I had a team to put together and had to manage, oh, that's
right.
just another story altogether. Well,
right.
speaking of sponsors, let's take a quick break. This is one of our sponsors, and we'll come back and talk more about some other things you've experienced.
Sounds great.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Kona Gold. Kona Gold is a premier lifestyle brand for those who work hard and play harder. There are many hemp companies out there that get lost in the crowd, but Kona Gold sets the gold standard with its premier line of products. When traveling all around with a Magical Mystery Tour to different matches, I travel around with lots of different flavors, including pink grapefruit, candy apple, and vanilla cherry. Make sure to stop by and get some for yourself. They are all zero calories, zero sugar, use organic hemp, and are THC and CBD free. Competitive shooters love them because there's no shakes, no headaches, and no crash. When you order from KonaGoldHemp.com, make sure to use discount code HuntersHD for another 20% off.
So when we go back into setting your goals mm-hmm. and not comparing yourself against yep. the ladies, you do compare, well, I'm not sure if you said that or not, but I mean, we worded it a different way.
I mean, I still do that.
Were you comparing sure. yourself against the men?
Everybody.
Okay, everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Super critical. I was super critical of every little detail of my performance. And I, like kind of like you said to it before, if I made something I didn't like, I would kind of crash, mm-hmm. you know, and it would affect a few stages and take me a while to dig out and mm-hmm. eventually kind of learn how to let those things go. I held myself to an unrealistic expectation of being perfect. Mm-hmm. And just as seeing how that's a detriment to my shooting, it was causing me to make more mistakes.
With being a minority
yeah.
in the shooting sports and being in a situation where all eyes seem to be on you, or you feel right. like they're all on you. Because right. I could see, you know, to that point, do you still feel that way today, or have you gotten over that and you're just your own individual shooter?
I think for the most part, I've really grown just as a person in general, and I've become more confident in just myself. Mm-hmm. And this is me. If you like it, great. If you don't, I'm sorry, you know.
Wonderful attitude. That's the best way to go.
It's been a struggle, but it's also affected my shooting as well in a confident way. Not to say I still don't have lapses of comparing myself to other people or like, oh, you know, I'm not doing as good here. But I'm more aware of it and just more of like, hey, this is who I am. If you don't like me, okay, you're lost. If mm-hmm. you do, hey, that's great. Let's go have some fun.
That's cool. What was it like when you went to your first nationals?
First nationals was actually kind of interesting. I was shooting limited and my husband and I went, and I think I was like a C-class shooter.
Okay.
And I was actually kind of disappointed, and like the stages seemed like just really boring.
Really?
Like, we were just kind of nothing like super excited.
How long ago was that?
Ooh, that was 2000 and let's see. 15 maybe, or okay. 2016 maybe. Okay. I can't really remember exactly when it was.
But you went in as a C-class shooter.
I went in as a C-class shooter, so nice. Didn't really have like much expectations. I know as a shooter, I was always very accurate, but mm-hmm. I kind of lacked in like picking up the speed because I didn't want to make mistakes.
Right.
So now, you know, time is just as important as points right. in this sport. And so you have to have that healthy balance.
So that wasn't too long ago that you started. you know, no, no, the nationals. It wasn't. So that was a big stage at that point, right?
It was, but I think because of where I was at, I mean, I was definitely nervous. There was definitely some nerves there. Mm-hmm. But I did not, I don't think I felt them in the same way as maybe I feel a little bit more pressure now, because like you said, like there are a little bit more eyes out mm-hmm. there. There's a little bit more, and it's just a little different.
Was it a big deal mentally? Like, this is nationals. This is the pinnacle of what this sport is but supposed to be.
Maybe not. I don't really remember that specific nationals, but other nationals in the past, yes.
Okay. And you were shooting open still?
At that time, I was shooting limited.
Limited, you said limited.
I was shooting 40 limited and recognized, like, hey, I'm a tiny, I'm not a big gal, and shooting a 40 versus some of these guys and shooting 40, there's... I can't just recoil management. I'm just not going to be able to do as much. So I eventually switched to open in 2018-ish.
Okay.
And that was an interesting change from iron sights to dots.
Okay.
But it's been fun, and I've really enjoyed learning, and still feel like I have a lot to go.
When you went to Eddie and said, hey, it's time for an open gun, what was the...
Actually, I didn't even go. I didn't approach Eddie.
Okay.
Actually, that's kind of the cool part about Eddie, is we had bought one of Eddie's used guns from him or off of, I think, Ed Cameron had one of Eddie's old guns and that some lady had. So we bought that one. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is everybody's like, oh, welcome to open, welcome to gun problems, this and that. I was having constant problems with my limited gun. I had front sights shearing off, back sights breaking, just constantly.
Right.
I had constant problems with my limited guns. And got to open gun, and that one just ran smooth as butter. It ran the whole year, didn't have any problems, and it was used. And I was like, man, like...
9 major or 38?
That was 38.
So it just, you were buying ammo or loading ammo?
Loading.
Really?
Yes, sir. Okay. So we were loading ammo, and then Eddie, I shot that for a little bit. Then Eddie actually called me up one day, and we were getting ready to buy some new guns, and he said, hey... would you like to shoot for me? And I was really just kind of shocked and excited because I'm not the type of person to go and ask for help. I'm not very good at advertising myself.
Right.
And so it was really, to me, it felt like a big honor to have him come and ask me if I wanted to be on his team.
Well, he had to see something, how you carry yourself and everything else, because you may not think you're a good... You still feel that way today about that?
I do. I feel like I'm a nobody.
Really?
Yes.
Because okay. I didn't see that at all. I saw you as somebody always happy, always running around just taking care and just making things happen, and I didn't see that side. So.
Yeah, I think I just feel like I'm just kind of a nobody. I'm just kind of in the background. I'm not a big-name sponsored shooter or anything.
Right.
I'm just... a little girl from Midland, Texas, who likes to shoot guns.
Yeah, but still, you put off an aura about you that's people want to be around, though.
Well,
I see it all
you.
The time.
Thank you.
So, you're in a situation where you're shooting nationals, and then you know there's a world shoot. That's a possibility.
Yes.
Was that like a goal that you set for yourself?
Or? It's actually around the time I met Sloan Sanders.
Yes.
You see us together a lot.
Yes.
She has been
like a travel buddy now, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, to be honest, it's been more of, she's one of the closest friends I have, even though we live far away.
Mm-hmm.
She's somebody that's super important to me. And so she was shooting open, and actually before I even knew who she was, people would come up and say, hey, Sloan, what's going on? And I was like, I'm Megan. And so at one point, my husband and I actually got squatted with her and her husband.
Okay.
So it was fun to be able to shoot as like, oh, there's another couple out here that shoots.
Mm-hmm. Which is rare.
Very rare. Very rare. And, you know, she's always been a great shooter. And she also helped convince me to kind of go to open.
Okay.
And she was talking about the world shoot and this and that. So I was like, oh, you know, I don't think I ever thought that I could be there. I thought like, oh, I'm started the sport older. You know, I'm not super young, you know, and had back surgery at one point and just some of the stuff. So I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. So I was able to kind of start doing that. And then that's, I think, when the pressure amped up a little bit more at the national events, knowing like, hey, if I want to shoot for this, it added a little bit more pressure.
Was she there to help with the mental game a little bit with pressure as well?
We talked about, so right off the bat, we weren't super, you know, super close. It took us some time to kind of develop that, but we do. I mean, I think we talk about it a lot with each other back and forth, and it's an interesting aspect to like be competitors, but be friends, you know? But it's a really, I'm very blessed to have her in my life.
Yeah, that's cool. When you're in a situation where you're shooting, you know, competitively, just doing what you're doing, and then all of a sudden you find out there's even a bigger stage than nationals. Mm. Do you set yourself as like, okay, this is what we're going to do mentally in the future? Because, you know, in the dominated world we're talking about already, we already discussed, and then realizing there may not be as many opportunities for the women's team. What was that like to, you know, realize, okay, what does it take to even get there as a woman? I mean, was that something you went to the USPSA about, or did
I didn't go to USPSA? To be honest, I talked to Sloan a lot about that type of stuff because
she done it before.
I know she went to France, she had done that before. Mm-hmm. Kind of when we had been getting close and stuff, she was getting ready to go experience her first world shoot. Mm-hmm. We talked to her about a lot of those things, and was able to kind of compete, and really it was very uncertain this last world shoot. You know, we didn't even know if we were going to get to go.
We
didn't even know. And so it was really frustrating, because it is a male dominant sport, which is great. But also, you know, USPSA says they support women, but there was the lack of showing that they support. And there's a lot of people in the USPSA. I don't want to group them all together because there's a lot of people in the USPSA who are extremely supportive of us as women.
I 100%
agree. But it is hard in the fact of, like, as a woman, like, especially older, I'm in my 30s. And so my husband and I were trying to have a kid. It took us 2.5 years to have her, and just a lot of hurdles. And so trying to juggle all of those things and trying to figure out, okay, like, family, and I still have these goals to meet. Like, I still have these. I want to go to world shoot. Like, I want to strive for that. And so it's just really, it's kind of a struggle, because it's like, it's a push and pull. Like, it's hard to be motivated to push forward with training and stuff if you don't know if you're even gonna have a chance to do it.
Right.
And so there's just a little bit of a mental balance of like, okay, no, I'm going to stick in this just in case we do get to go. Cause we didn't even know we were going to get to go till like March of world shoot.
That's correct.
And so it was
back when you actually made the team. It was a lot going on, because I think you were pregnant.
Yes. Yeah. I was pregnant, and I was, you know, excited, but I was like, oh man, like, I was really hoping I didn't have to have a C-section, but I ended up having to have a C-section.
Right.
And so I was out in training. I think my doctor actually gave me the clear head 4 weeks after my C-section to start shooting and start moving again. So I was out working, trying to work out, trying to do that with a 4 week old baby.
Did you shoot a lot while you were pregnant?
I did.
That's why I wanted to discuss that. Cause there's, you know, people have, you know, thinks that if you're pregnant, you shouldn't be shooting and everything else.
Right.
What did you talk to your doctor about that when that happened?
My doctor was very supportive of it. I walked him through all of the things, because I think some doctors don't recognize how much we shoot and how much is involved.
Exactly.
And so, like, I kind of ran him through all of it, that, you know, we reload, we pick up the brass, we, you know, do all of these things. Very active. Mm-hmm. So I was... When I shot my first match when I was pregnant, it was area 4, and I was like 7 weeks pregnant, it was a little interesting, because you do, like, they joke about, like, pregnancy brain it's a real thing. Like, I left my ammo all at the hotel by the time I got to, and didn't recognize it till like I was we were shooting. I was like,
Do you feel that helped you mentally, though, overall, because you started focusing more on your mental game, or is it worse on your mental game?
I don't know. It's probably about the same.
Okay.
It was about the same, I think, at that time, but my doctor was very supportive as long as I was safe. I did switch to, like, a carry optics gun in my second trimester, because my open gun is very loud. Okay. And my doctor didn't say anything, but also he doesn't.
There's not a, probably not a lot of information about that, but you got to keep in mind it's behind some layers of skin there.
Exactly. So, and so it's muffled. It's not pretty much what he said. He said that it was like if you were at the bottom of a pool and somebody was shooting like outside, like there would be like that buffer. Mm-hmm. I was also worried about the lead content, like being concerned about that. So I would have my blood tested all the time. If I was, my husband actually loaded all my ammo for me at that time. Mm-hmm. And then when I picked up brass, I would wear gloves. I would then use a de-leading wipe and clean my hands afterwards. And I'd change clothes. And just at that time, I was very careful about not eating while I didn't have dirty, you know, dirty hands and stuff like that. Right. Now, it's got a lot last. One of my nationals that I was trying to qualify for, I was still pumping. Mm-hmm. My daughter was at home, and so I would have to shoot a couple of stages, then I would have to stop and pump. And
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't really pick up brass right now. I got to go take care of some business.
Exactly.
Over here.
Exactly. So, like, I can't really help reset a stage right now. And so that was a little stressful in ways of trying to make sure like you're keeping everything clean, but also just balancing like the mom life with the shooting life was a little bit of a difficult aspect there.
There's so much to overcome there.
It is.
You should be proud of that.
I am. I'm actually very, very proud of it.
I'm amazed.
I'm very thankful for the journey. My husband has been my 100% supporter like from the whole time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done it without him.
Right.
It's been a fun journey. It's been an exciting journey.
Wow.
And it's made me who I am.
That's so cool. Let me take another break.
Yes.
Because I want to get into the actual what happened at World Shoot, how that went and everything else. There's so much more there to discuss.
There is.
And I want to back up and relate that with some other stuff that you experienced before. So let's take another break from our last sponsor and we'll go from there.
This week's podcast is also sponsored by Make Ready Nutrition. They have three products available for shooters that are 2-Alpha Performance to drink before hammer down, 2-Alpha Recovery that I use personally as a meal replacement for lunch with 34 grams of protein and is low carb, 2-Alpha Ammunition, which is next level hydration plus energy and amino acids for shooters, gym workouts, or pushing your body in sports and recreation. Whether you're in the Texas heat or in Arizona desert, 2-Alpha Ammunition works harder and endures longer. This unique formula is manufactured for shooters by shooters to replenish your body with electrolytes and hydration while helping aid in muscle recovery and providing fast energy. For 25% off your next order, go to makereadynutrition.com/discount/huntershd or enter huntershd at checkout for 25% off your entire order. makereadynutrition.com. Are you ready?
So, you've worked hard. You've gone through training. You've gone through your own mental game trying to do everything. You've done nationals. You've met a friend who has put you in a mode to somebody to travel with.
Yes.
You've done all the hard work. And then we find out in March, you're going to World Shoot in a country of Thailand. With a baby that's already been born.
Yes.
And that wasn't the deal you thought to yourself when you were going to be originally going, because you didn't even know you were going to have a kid.
Right.
So I'm sure you got a great family support group, but what's the experience like when you find out you're actually going, okay, this is real now. I'm getting ready to go to another country without my kid.
Yeah,
that's newborn.
Yes.
And where are you at now?
That was an interesting thing.
Did you come close to saying I just can't do it?
No.
Okay.
No, I've had this thing for when my husband's always been super supportive, but I want my daughter to know that no matter how old she is, what she wants to do, that go and go for your dreams.
Okay.
Like, you don't just go for your dreams when you're a teenager. You can have dreams and you can push forward outside of that, being an adult and working part-time and having a family. Like, you can still have dreams and goals. And I wanted her to see, like, hey, her mom, like, I want her to be able to be proud of, like, hey, my mom went and did this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want her to be able to do that. I want to encourage her to push forward for her dreams and to go and do what she wants to do. And so that was really another mindset of like, hey, I want her to see that she can chase for her dreams.
Well, that's cool. So you say all that, and then all of a sudden you're on a plane for umpteen hours.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And then it hit you.
Yeah, it was. So I'd been away from her, you know, here in bits. My first time to be away from her was when she was 3 months old. That was my first match back.
Okay.
I had had Sloan, thankfully, to kind of she's, you know, a mom as well. So that was kind of nice to have her support. But the all of a sudden knowing that I'm going to be halfway across the world and I'm going to be gone from her for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. She was about, let's see, 18 months old at this mm-hmm. age. So it was kind of one of those things like she's very smart. She's very, mm-hmm. she was already talking, and saying lots of things. And so I was kind of wondering, I'm like, oh, she won't even miss me. And like, I was like, I don't know if she'll miss me or not, or even notice. And it's kind of one of those things, you want her to miss you, but then you don't want her to miss you because right. it's a long time.
Right.
I'm thankful for technology. Thankful that I can FaceTime her yeah. and
at so, different hours though, because yeah. when you once you're in Thailand, it is a different day.
Right. But you know what? It was kind of actually not too bad okay. because it was 13 hours. Mm-hmm. So if it was, you know, 7 o'clock there, it was, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
So it actually worked out. So I was able to talk to her like after she woke up in the morning and then yeah. before bed. So that was actually better than being like 7 or 8 hours yeah. away. It worked out actually okay. But there was It was a challenge. It was mm-hmm. really hard to like, oh, this is the farthest I've been away from my baby girl. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've missed a holiday with my family. Mm-hmm. We missed Thanksgiving. And so I was just thankful it wasn't Christmas. But right. it's first time to be halfway across the world.
But you're at the world shoot.
But we were at the world shoot. And it was an exciting time.
That was an exciting time because it was an exciting time for me because Hunter's HG Go was a part of that.
Right.
Because we were, you know, sponsoring the team with
right.
eyewear,
yes.
which was
yes.
huge to me. You took one of the,
yes.
a flag I gave you.
Yes.
And took it over there because I was watching, you know, it. Whatever time y'all were having it, I was on the TV. I was watching my computer from...
That would have been like midnight or something for you.
almost. I think some of the live feeds started at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
I was up till 4 in the morning
right.
on opening ceremonies.
Right.
I was there the whole time for everything. I was very excited for everybody. But you get to that point of mm-hmm. opening the ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
You've done some stuff with, you know, you've won national championships in softball. You've done everything you've done wanted mm-hmm. to do there. But you're in another country now.
Totally.
Now you're representing the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When was your big aha moment? Like, holy cow.
Probably at opening ceremonies.
Was it really?
Yeah, probably okay. just seeing, like, all of the people there and just coming together and just recognize, like, wow, this is it. We're here. Like, what we've been training for and putting for the last 5 years because of COVID, you know, mm-hmm. kind of changed some of that. It's here. And it was just kind of, wow. And so I was really just trying to take it all in and take it moment by moment mm-hmm. at that time.
Was it pretty emotional doing the parade in front of everybody like that? Or were you just too hyped up with all the friends and everything else?
Probably just, I don't like to be in front of big groups. I don't like mm-hmm. people. I don't like a whole bunch of people staring at me. I get real nervous.
Well, that was the wrong place to do
it. Yeah. So it was nice to have like some support, some people around, but it was just really awesome experience. I don't really know how else to. It was just kind of like, oh, we're here.
Yep. And you get open, the ceremony is done.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day, y'all start going to the range.
We do.
And game time is here.
That's right.
What was the experience like? Because, you know, most you're squatted with everybody that you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yes.
not a situation there. But
yes.
when you're actually shooting in another country mm-hmm. and you're there, does it feel like, okay, I'm back home? Because of the state, you know, you're shooting and everything. Does that
right.
put you back in the comfort zone of not being in another country? Or was you still in the mode of like, this is still different?
I've been in enough foreign countries that being okay. in a foreign country doesn't really bother me. And thankfully, we had a really nice place that we stayed. So mm-hmm. that didn't really bother me. I think it was more of a like, oh, well, like this is a bigger setting. This is a bigger stage mm-hmm. To be shooting on and being part of the U.S. team. The women's U.S. team is, you know, from what Sloan even told me, she came and gave me a heads up. Hey, like people are going to be looking at us because we've won. The U.S. team has won for, I don't know, as long as there's been a long time that I guess we've been the women's team.
Before you went or when you got there on the
actually
stage?
Like on, like, I think it was like on the trip over there. So it was like, okay.
Right.
But it was a really cool, it was really interesting. Of course, it's a lot greener than where I practice. Mm-hmm. If you know, I practice out in the dirt and the clay sheet.
Yeah, the background is so nothing it's, but dust. It's
exactly. So being green, I was a little concerned about like humidity, like being like super hot, and it was actually pretty nice. But it was just really cool the way this the way the stages were designed, like the level of detail, it just, you could tell.
Well, you were back to a team environment.
Again. Exactly.
And that's where I was going from softball team. And then you're back to an official team that you're shooting together. What kind of preparations do you do as a team for the world shoot like that? Is there certain, is there any strategy involved with that, or how you, we get through this together?
Right.
Like, what does that look like, you know, as a team?
I feel like that was a little tricky. I feel like for our sport, I think we had great, our women's group was amazing.
Who was on your team?
It was Jesse, Sloan, and Janet.
Okay.
We got to shoot the Pan American Games together.
Okay.
So we got to shoot together as a team kind of before, which I don't think they've always had that opportunity to do. So that was really cool. We had a really good just moral support of each other. But it's also hard because you're still an individual. Mm-hmm. You're not just competing as a team at this point, but you're also competing against these women that you're teammates. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes that can be a little, tricky, but not once did I feel like any of our women ever give each other a hard time. Like, we were all extremely supportive and happy when, they did well and things like that.
Because in USPSA, you're always watching practice score or competitor app. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at scores, you know what you got to do. You know how, you can't, one might can do this and everything. As a team, is there the same kind of scoring competitor app or anything when you're doing as a team, or how do you keep up with it?
I'm not sure. I didn't really keep up with it, to be honest. I kind of go back and forth whether I keep up with it or not. It kind of depends on my mental game at the time. Am I going to look? Am I not going to look? As a team, I'm not really sure, but it was pretty, felt like it was kind of obvious that we were pretty dominant as a team there.
How did it feel being in that close, in that situation with four different mental games? Did you see any similarities with everybody's mental games, or did you learn how to handle, like, so if competitor A is you and competitor B on the U.S. team has something like as a mic, and
then
do you learn how to, pump each other up through that process?
I think so.
Or do you learn how to just leave that person alone?
Yes. Yeah. We knew, I think we kind of knew each other well enough to be able to know, like, hey, when's to encourage, when's to kind of give them some space. Okay. Like I said, I feel like our team jive really, really well. We hung out together after the match. We hung out together before the match. We all had like matching stuff. We had matching hats and towels, and everybody contributed into, we all like had gifts for each other that we all kind of came to. So the team aspect was really, really cool.
So after the third day of shooting, or four days of shooting,
We shot five days, and we had one day off.
Mm-hmm. So after that final day of shooting, how long was it before you knew that you'd won as a team?
I think it was, let's see.
Because I know they all post a lot of scores and stuff.
Right. So, I mean, it was that day that we found out. I can't remember how long it was. I think it was that afternoon that we officially found out. When we were done shooting, I think we had known, we had just kind of by some of the scores. But I think by the end of that day, we officially found out that we had won as a team.
And there's a celebration that happens there, of course.
Yeah.
But when you get ready and you go to the award ceremony and, you go through the process, they call out the bronze, they call out the silver.
Right.
And they call out the gold.
Right.
Walk me through that as an individual, what that was like. Realize this is like that moment.
Yeah. It was really awesome. It was pretty surreal. I will say I was a little let down with the ceremony because most people had left by then. We were like the second to last team. The men's open team were the last ones to win. And it was so hot that most people had left. There was actually people who had left in the hospital because they had got heat stroke or food sickness or something. But it was still a really cool moment. Of knowing, like, hey, like,
I didn't know it because I was watching it online.
Right. Yeah. There was not very many people who had stayed. And so it was a little like let down with that. Right. I think all of us were kind of let down.
I was at the cabin at Triple Forks Hunting.
Yeah.
And I had internet up there and I was watching, and Lane sitting there watching with me. And he looks over and goes, "Are you all right?" I said, "Man, I'm great." I was emotional. I was like, this is why we did this. Yes. I was emotional for you.
Thank you. Moment. It was really cool. It was a really awesome thing to have those medals placed on you. This is our Olympics, and this is what we travel, like what we train for and what we put in the hard work for. And And so, you know, I didn't really meet my personal goals of what I really wanted, mm-hmm. but as a team, we blew it out of the water, right. and we worked really well together, and it was just really awesome.
It was amazing.
It was so cool.
I was blown away. I was just all into the moment. I was like, everything is blown away.
It was cool.
So, and then I'm sitting there taking, you know, screenshots of my computer and everything else, posting stuff online.
Right. Yeah.
It was just amazing. I'm so proud of y'all.
Oh, thank you.
Especially. You know, you made a comment about there wasn't a lot of direction mm-hmm. for how the World Shoot worked, mm-hmm. either for women, for anybody.
Right.
Because, you know, now they've chosen, you know, theme for the shotgun, you know, and then mm-hmm. some people worked really hard, didn't get in. Some people got in at, you know, different levels right. of people getting in. Do you feel now that you've been once and you mm-hmm. had that experience of what it took, do you feel now responsibility to be an advocate for how to get more people aware of how to make this work, to get more people into the World Shoot side of it?
I think so.
Have you even thought about that side of it?
A little bit. It's more of I think the biggest thought for me is how can I get to the next World Shoot, though, mm-hmm. too? And with trying to juggle family and all of this, it's kind of hard. I believe on the women's side, I've always been a big advocate for women shooters. I've mm-hmm. always wanted to try to bring more women into the sport, mm-hmm. Because it's an awesome sport and there's great people involved and it's a great skill. I feel more confident traveling on my own, like you've made a comment to before, mm-hmm. because I can protect myself. Mm-hmm. So I feel more comfortable doing that, but mm-hmm. I do think it's important for us to, now that we've gone, to help others who are interested along. There's been a few other people I have talked to about, like, okay, what does it take? What do you have to do to get there? Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important part of growing the sport. And I do feel some responsibility of, like, hey, let's help some other people out.
Where does the USPSA need to do better in your mind of how to?
I think how
guide the people along.
Or, I think one thing, especially for women in particular, is a big thing for me because, you know, like if I wanted to have another kid, I have to plan it around a certain time because we only have so many chances to qualify. We have mm-hmm. 3 out of 4. We have to hit 3 out of 4 IPSC and USPSA nationals. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I decided I wanted to qualify for, you know, Carry Optics, I'm not even in Carry Optics Nationals, mm-hmm. Because of the wait list is so long. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't even have that option, which that's not just minimum. I think that's just, overall, but also like if I ended up did having a family right now, it could knock me out of a chance to qualify to get to even attempt to be on a team. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard, aspect. If I get pregnant at the wrong time, then. Mm-hmm. And for me, it wasn't an easy thing to have a kid. It, like I said, it took us 2.5 years, many right. fertility treatments. So I think there could be more options of how you can qualify. Mm-hmm. I think there could be some better options of that way. I don't know exactly what those answers are. I do think that maybe opening it up to maybe some other IPSC qualifiers, you can go and like maybe trade out one nationals for another major IPSC level 3 match. You can get some points in that could be for the men too. Like I don't mm-hmm. care, but I know it's in particularly difficult for a woman who is trying to have a family and trying to compete as well and qualify. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel with a master's in counseling and everything else that you're doing that you are going to one day try to help more women with the shooting sports and the mental game, or have you even thought about that path?
I haven't really thought about that path a whole bunch. I do. Usually if people come up and ask, I'm pretty open and I love to help people. I have a lot of people ask me to help them shoot and I love to do that. For me right now, it's kind of management of time with having a toddler trying to compete. I have to kind of be selective, but if anybody's wanting that advice, I'm happy to help. I don't know future, if that's something. I think it is interesting. I think it's awesome. But right now I'm actually looking more of to maybe ease out of working, and be more at home and more mm-hmm. present with my daughter.
Now you're in Texas. It's a free country, which is, Texas is its own country.
Yes, it is.
And that's fine. I'm fine with that.
It is.
But things have happened mm-hmm. in Texas that things are very unfortunate with violence and everything else that goes on with mental health and other things. Does it bother you? Have you thought about in a situation with schooling? Have you ever thought about homeschooling, just not even to put your kid through this process?
I have. I mean, I don't really like our school districts here anyway, our public school districts, but there's kind of on and off. There's a school here that is like kind of half and half through elementary. And then there's another private school I've looked into. And that other private school, I know that they have officers that come and volunteer their time and stuff like that. I'm very conscious about, I actually try to carry when I have her out in public and stuff, just because you don't know, anymore. Unfortunately, there's a lot of hard things. Like you said, tragedies happening.
It's just, I just don't even know the mental state.
Yeah.
Even anymore with school, but I didn't know if based on, you know, Texas being, you know, a very gun friendly state, right, if you feel more secure in the schools here than you do in other areas. I didn't know if they might be different or not.
Maybe. Yeah. I think also it's just a little bit smaller community, but not too small. Like I said, the private school that I actually went to, grew up in, I know that they actually have, they ask for off-duty officers to come up there. So they're up there. They lock things down. They're pretty safety-oriented.
Do people at the school know you're a competitive shooter that went to the World Shoot?
Some people do.
Really?
Some people do. Some people don't.
Because some people may want you to do that instead of an officer that may not have all the training
right,
that you have.
Right, right. Some do, some don't. Right. Actually, I help Lee teach at a Bible study group, and they've actually, on Wednesday mornings, and they actually have asked me, like, hey, like, are you cool with this? And so I was like, yeah. And at our church, we... our pastor's very big about us protecting ourselves and our community, our church family. So
my dad did that when he was living. He carried
yes.
the church. So yeah. It's cool.
It's nice.
Security. That's
it is.
Cool.
We have a off-duty police officer or sheriff's office deputy come and also hang out at the church as well, just to make sure that nothing does happen.
That's so
just
cool.
Just to deter any people who aren't in the right state.
Hey, it's a mental thing.
It is.
We know it's not a gun problem.
It's not.
It's a mental health
problem.
It's
not. It is.
It's one of those things where I listen to a lot of different advocates talk about different things with our Second Amendment and also the other things that other people aren't talking about. But
right.
it's definitely a mental health issue. And it doesn't mean if you could be in Midland, Texas, Odessa, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, it doesn't matter where it's at. There's people that need help. And it's just an identity thing that we have to try to do it. So
it is.
How can people get in touch with you if a lady wants to reach out to you and say, hey, I'm wanting to pursue this and I'm a family itself and I don't know how to balance that time. How can people reach out to you to, you know, get into something? Like
yeah,
that
definitely. I mean, you can reach out via Facebook or Instagram. Those are my two main handles. Megan Swanson Smiley is my Facebook name. And then I think it's just Meg_Smiley at Instagram is where I'm on those. I don't do a whole bunch of social media. That's one way I try to limit, keeping a good headspace, but I'm always checking my messages and things like that. So they can always reach me there.
Cool. Well, you did a wonderful job, you and everybody else, but you especially particular because, you know, we've been so close for a while, but since Dragon's Cup 1, now we're
since
Dragon
I was
Cups
fat.
3, it was different. But, it's really neat to watch you.
Thank you.
Your shooting career and hitting your goals. Congratulations to you. Is there anything else that, you know, what the future holds or anything we didn't discuss? You pretty much everything.
I don't know.
Out there?
You know, I probably would like to maybe try to have one more. I don't.
Really?
I do.
I was one and done. I don't get it.
Yeah. See, that's. I think my husband's a little bit more like that. I think for me, it's like I don't want her to be by herself. My brother and I are 12 years apart.
Right.
I always kind of missed out on that sibling. Okay. I think I always felt like I missed out on that sibling thing. But also, like we're older parents.
But if you would have had a younger. You had to share more stuff.
Yeah,
that could have been
true.
An issue as well.
That's true, but I never minded sharing. Him, maybe,
exactly.
I don't know. But no, I don't know. I'd like to, I do have a goal. I would like to try to go to South Africa in 2025.
Okay.
So just kind of pushing forward my goals. I don't feel like I quite met my potential for open yet. So I'm just using what, you know, like I said earlier, I wasn't super excited about my overall individual at World Shoot, but I'm using that to fuel me to be like, okay, let's push this forward. And I had some things come up that were not my necessarily in my control or my fault, but learning how to manage those better and learning how to push forward and use them to let's try to go to South Africa in 2025.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So, well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today and give us a little insight to what it takes to go through that whole process with different living situations that you went through. That's amazing to me.
It's been a fun journey. I'm very blessed to have been able to go through and do it.
That's awesome. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Until next time, we'll see you at the range soon. Thanks again.
Thank you.
For a complete written transcript of the Dr. Bill Show, go online to www.icarusmusic.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Bill Show. Let's go to a caller who seems to be having issues communicating with his girlfriend. Caller?
Yeah, I've had this problem with my girlfriend. She kind of broke up with me. I've been doing everything right. Everything's been going great. We went out. We've gone out for, I don't know, I'd say a good 5-6 months. Everything's good. I mean...
But son, you've got to use communication.
I've done that. I mean, what else can I do? I mean, seriously, I mean, like, I...
Son. Some girls are just bitch.